Some of you perhaps.
So know you want to teach. In this yoga, this is the natural yoga, the yoga of the sound current. In this, no hypothesis is required to be made. Direct way back to God. Because if this is contact with the light and sound principle, which emanates from the absolute God, what does it say? In all of the yoga, you have to have some hypothesis to make or draw inferences. So as such, like persons, you know, call them by the name person. One may flash, is born the same way as we are born. He's got the only two eyes that we have got outside. Through him, he walks like us. But he is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, as Christ said. Akhand Pujyanti, Pujyantira. They also say, it is bread of life that has come down from heaven, whose has partaken of it shall have everlasting life. They give you the bread of life, the water of life, which is light and sound principle of the God into expression power. You have physical food to make your body strong. You got deep learning, etc., to give you strength to the intellect. What food you give to your soul, which is conscious entity. So Master comes here to give that water of life, that bread of life. But when you get it, when you rise above body consciousness, until you rise above body consciousness, you remain a stranger to the beyond. If Master gives you experience and demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness, then you have no fear of death. Because all glory and beauty lies within you. When you witness once that aspect of higher life, you are so much attached to it, you won't like to stay outside. So, it is always advised in the scriptures what? To do the practices as given by your master. Those who are doing practices without a master, only doing at the level of senses, and then with the outgoing faculties or with the intellect, they don't give you any access into the beyond. There are good actions, of course, because you are dual, as you sow, so shall you reap. But they cannot give you glimpse of the beyond. So they, what will do if you have this, I mean, and then you follow the sit at the feet of Master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, then you have got seen that thing, you see, and you know how to go up. So the function of the Master Shabd is a link between man and God. And link of Shabd again. And what is Shabd? Light and sound, two aspects of it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light at my path. So even such a master, when you meet such a master, you see, even after leaving his body, the perfect master continues to watch over the disciples, his world made flesh, and never leaves you till the end of the world. This is all world master said. Christ said, I shall never leave in all forsake thee till the end of the world. Is it not? So all masters said, Christ said, they work while alive and give light to the world. He said, I must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day. Means he is alive. The night comes when no man can work. When day passes, night comes when this man is no more alive in the body. Then he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Very clear words. So this is a function. This is what do they do? They do what? They give you contact with God. They are the link between man and God. They open your inner eyes, see the light of God. They open your inner ears to hear the voice of God. They tell you how to rise above body question, how you fly your plane into the air. There's a plane rising into the air outside, and that's the plane, yours, inner self, into the beyond, to the astral plane, to the causal plane, even beyond, until you reach the true home of the Father. So, the work continues, one bulb is fused and the other is put on. That power never dies. Christ lived before Abraham. Jesus lived before Abraham. I am that I am. You follow the point? Though that power never dies, continues on working at different demon posts at different times to guide the child humanity. This is also what six scriptures say. He says, that sound principle is my guru. In that sound principle is all nectar of bliss. What the scriptures say, read it what they say, unless you meet a living master, you can't go beyond. Very clear, Lord? And that power never leaves you, you see. Always with you, watching you, extending all physical health and protection. And such a gift given by a master, you see, that can never be set aside. No power on earth can take it away. And no one else can give you such a gift. He gives God as a gift to you. Guru Prasad. He makes you come in contact with God. Christ said, I gave unto thee eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then thought that once a master takes anybody under his care, then he shall be taken away by somebody? No. The disciple may leave, but the master never leaves. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. This is what Christ said. This also you got in your scriptures, Sad Bhajan Adilat. I am going to only tell you to show that the teaching of the East and West makes no difference whatsoever. So for that reason, you see, what you find, you would like somebody who knows the way. For the hungry, water for the thirsty. demand and supply is the law of nature. The child which was born 5,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago, has now been born. Don't you know that nature provides milk for the child and the mother before birth? Do you think this law will change in the future? Laws of nature never change. So this goes on, you see. The Guru Mukh, who had dwelt in him the secret power of Naam, or word, and attained the degree of at least a Sadguru, from him the torch of Naam is carried forward by disciples from generation unto generation to enlighten the future. While one bulb is used, the other is put on. So, such a master is needed. Guru Nanak says, sit at the feet of somebody, when you go beyond, and Lord of Judgment is there to take your account, he stands for you. You are not account for it. So that is why they say, just leave the friendship of such people who never go along with you. Not in the world also, you see. Many people are with us only so long as their purpose is served. When they have got no purpose left, they go away. They may be very dutiful children. They may help you to the last. But when you are dying, they cannot help you. So you need somebody who can help you at the time of death. And who are they? They are masters who give you demonstration of dying by denying the very first day for a while. You call it regular, accurate every day. You rise above body conscious daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. When you leave the body at home, Guru Nanak says 100 times a day, where is the fear of death? Kabir says, people are afraid if they take the name of death. But I am more joyed when I hear the name of death. So we are afraid of death for two reasons. One reason is, we do not know how to die. What is death? It is no bugbear, it is leaving the body. All have to leave the body in the saints, mass, everybody who took this body, they left the body. And we will also have to leave the body. Then how to conquer death? The only, you must know how to die, how to leave the body to him. All glory and beauty lies within you. So we need somebody who can give us a demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness. The yogis have taken hundreds of years to do so. And he guides you up when you go across, they are also there to help you. He won't leave you till the end of the world. Christ also said the same thing. I shall never leave nor forsake you till the end of the world. So for that reason, you see, he says to sit, pray. God, O God, meet a such a man, such a person. Who can take us out of the prison of box of the body in lifetime? Who accompanies us here and there also? Those who are afraid of death, what should they do? Master says, let them sit at the feet of the Master. To them, if they are accurate, they keep oneness of the Master, they feel joy at the time of death. So what is the result? He will just meet you, receive you at the door of death. You're not to go all around. That's a great confession. So Master therefore says, don't take hold of the hem of such a master who knows this and the other world both, who can work in both worlds, here and there too. Who may be with you when you are in this world, extending all feasible help and protection. When you leave the world to the beyond, they also accompany there. When you leave this world. Don't you like such a friend? We do need. So what happened, you see? We are now drenched in the poison of the outward faculties. We are identified with it. This poison comes through the impressions we receive from the outward faculty, from outside. So his first work is to take you up out of this abyss of poison of the outward faculty. You follow what I mean? Our souls are under the command of mind. Mind is under the control of outward faculties, and outward faculties are attracted like anything by the outward enjoyments. So my soul is a forgotten yourself. We cannot differentiate ourselves. So Mahasu gives a demonstration how to come out of the body, Bhakta's man body, and open the inner eyes to see the light of God, that He is the maker of all. His ego is not. When He says some higher power is working, I am not working, then Lord of Judgment only takes account of those people who are working at the level of ego. You are the doer. You sow, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you rise above this, the law of evolution and devolution, come, know that power that is working behind all this, then you save all coming and going. So what happens? He takes you out of the man body. The Master do say, Guru Amar Das, after 70 long years, when he met, sat at the feet of his Master, he had that experience. He says, oh man, I was also like you at the level of the outward faculties. Now I have risen up with the grace of God working through my Master. Just like this. This is watch. Watch is that fingers are holding it. But have you had the fingers who is working? I. So in the man body of a world made flesh, God is working. It is He has the power to take you up from the bed, the man body. When He gives you a contact, the result is what? All sins are washed away. You got heaps of firewood, you put in little fire to it, all are burnt out to ashes. Similar, we have got sins of the past, hundreds of birth. We have an example in the Mahabharata. That last I was there, he was blind from birth. People asked him, in what birth you have committed some sin, the result of which you are blind from the very birth. He said, I know by yoga power, 100 births back I have done no such action. Then Lord Krishna gave him his own power, yoga power, to go behind, beyond. And he, in 106 birth back, he did something that came to us. So man body is given to us to just burn away all those burdened options we have got on our shoulders by bringing you in contact with the God into special power, which is light and sound. That burns away all partially we have. And there's no attendance to the court of Lord of Judgment. So we are afraid of death. Why? We do not know how to deal with death. Death is no bugbear. It is only living man. But as I come from India, I'm here alive, isn't it? You bear testament to it. Similarly, when a man leaves the physical body, he is conscious. He is what he is at the time of leaving the body. So the first thing is we do not know how to leave the body. And there is no escape from death. All have to leave body someday. How to conquer death is only to know how to leave the body. So in the scriptures it is said, you see in the Mahamudra scriptures it is said, when soul leaves the man body, it feels such like pain as one has by putting a thorny brush to the rectum and down to the mouth. And the Hindu scriptures tell us when soul leaves the man body, it has pain like that as 1,000 scorpions sting together. If one scorpion bites you, then you have got terrible pain. What to speak of 1,000 scorpions? And second thing is, we do not know what is our fate beyond. That's it. If a man rises above body conscious daily, goes into beyond, then when he hears he is being called back, he feels, yeah, I am going to my father. Others who have not sat at the feet of Master, they are in agony. So if the grace of God, of a Guru, you know yourself by self-analysis, not at the giving of feelings or trying influences, then you become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. That is the dual you are meant to do. If you know this dying by the lion, then you are ever lost in life. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. So to have a living master is a great blessing. Remain in whatever formation you are, the labels of which you are carrying. Spirituality is one and the same for all of you. Of course, the customs and rituals of the various so-called social bodies we are in, the labels of which we are carrying on our body, they may be different. That is due to climatic influences or customs prevailing in that country where they arose. I give you one instance. In Arabia, they want of dust of water. They have made a provision that you can have their water less there. You can only wash your hands, feet and face and sit for prayers. And they have also made a provision, what? That is, there is no water whatsoever. You may have been smeared yourself with sand over there and sit wide awake. And the heat or anywhere else where water is in abundance, what they do? They say, unless you take a bath, you are not fit for prayers. So this is due to what? Climatic influence. Purpose is to sit wide awake when you sit for prayer. Another example, when you go to a Sikh temple, they are to sit with bare-headed dog, with covered head, that is sign of respect. That is due to the custom. In the churches, to sit bare-headed is sign of respect. That is due to the custom. So outward differences they are having that are due to customs, climatic differences, or narrow-mindedness. Master come to bring you man up above his own seat. This is what is before you. All mankind is alike, given the same privilege from God. Your spirit is man. When spirit is eternal, how can you fear you've died? You are the true temple of God. So keep it clean from outside and inside too. Of course we have done, I think thousands of dollars we spent by keeping this man body outside very clean. Toilet, what about inside? The dirt comes through the outer faculties. 80% of the impressions are received from outside. It's two eyes only. 14% from the ears. The rest from other outer faculties. So what this poison, who is the creator of this poison mind within you, that defiles the whole body? When you think of that, nobody should be less thought. That why you think of anger, the whole body is burning. So all these things go to poison your, defile your mind, body within. So that is why I said, blessed are they who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, all other masters in the East also say the same thing. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. So Guru Arjan says, which is the highest religion in the world, he says, to have a true living and contact with God. Remain where you are. Each formation, wherever you are, their purpose, we have giant religions only to turn out such like men. Perfect man. Whichever turns out such like people, they are blessed, they are to be appreciated. That school which turns out students with high degrees, they are creditable. The religions which turn out perfect men. And the idea of a perfect man in all religions is given the same. A Sikh, when he becomes Khalsa, only he derives the full benefit of living in the city. And what is he? What is he? In him, the light of God is fully effulgent. Only such a man is called Khalsa, the pure. Hindu too, Hindu is one who sees the light outside, yes, and just lights is lit inside too, light. Take it that the light within you is not dark. Mohammedan also sees the light of God, and Krishna is one who sees the light of God. Degree is the same. The headquarters of the Sikhism in Amritsar, in India, the foundation was laid by a Mohammedan saint. Why? Out of God we may have anything. You see, we are man. We are conscious entities. Who is animated, I may say, by God, is it human? When that delusion man comes out of that, all are one. It is you who have made all the differences. It's on my last tour, there was a meeting, you see, East and West. Each man had to speak on his own, where from he has come. All said something when it came to my turn. I told them, it is said that East is for the East and the two shall never meet. But it is we who have made the East and West. The whole creation is the house of our God. All countries are so many rooms in the house of our Father. There is no East and West.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Christine Clevenger. Are you there, Christine?
I'm here, John, yes.
Okay, carry on.
Okay. I will continue reading from the Master's talk. It is called Guru Bhakti. Once, while holding satsang, Hazur said, anyone who can give his mind can go straight to God just now. One man stood up and said, Maharaj, I can give my mind. Baba Salan Singh looked at him and then told him, first make your mind your own, and then you can give it. At present, you are not in control of your mind. How can we offer something to him which is broken into 1,000 pieces? If it were whole, that would be different. It is a condition which can be remedied only by the perfect master. With a little thought or attention from his heart, he can make our broken heart whole. For a while it withdraws from everything else and becomes single-pointed. It is like an ointment acting upon a wound. I am trying to make you understand that without real devotion, all work you may do to activate progression will be barren. A man can withdraw from outer things by centering his attention. Call it devotion, call it love, or anything else. While amid thousands of people, he can yet be alone. His attention is on one thing, and for him there is no world surrounding. Alone, and yet he is in a garden filled with flowers. His beloved is not dead, excuse me. Devotion is like this. Are there other types of devotion, and how should they be applied? The masters have made open statements about them. There are books full of them. As an example, Swamiji's words will now be placed before you. All the masters have attempted to give understanding of these things. Kabir Sahib, other masters, the Vedas, the Shastras, the Upanishads, pointing to Yogiraj Raghuvacharya, who was sitting on the dais. He will tell you, and by whatever I have learned through connection with the masters, I will endeavor to explain also. Listen attentively. Hear, my brother, about the greatness of devotion of which all the masters have told. Swamiji Maharaj speaks in very plain language as he tells us of his intentions to discourse on the greatness of devotion. Recognize this teaching as the Guru's. All other teachings are false and lead to further forgetfulness. He says that this path of devotion is the teaching of the Guru. The path of the masters is one of love and devotion. All other practices are empty, without essence. When one's devotion and attention are on a single thing, he becomes Nekarma from all other things. Through devotion, the devotion which leads to two becoming one, we achieve success. Otherwise, by knowledge alone, we will start drawing inferences. There is a vast difference between the two. So, as Swamiji has said, actions and principles without devotion are empty and void of any real benefit. From this, we need not conclude that there is no return at all for our actions. Good actions will bring rewards, and bad actions will react with punishment. But the reward which we seek to experience is something else. For that, we must become Nekarma, or we will not succeed. Without withdrawing the attention from the outer expressions, be they good or bad, there is no awakening into the self. Awareness cannot burst through the ignorance. Furthermore, there is no progression toward the truth. Without devotion, all is void of meaning. Nothing but the husk is there without the grain. The lack of devotion is like husk after the grain has been removed, what little value it has. This describes the fields of action, principles, practices, which are void of devotion. So catch hold of devotion with a firm grasp. Discard all your own understanding. Now he gives clear advice to catch hold of true devotion and hold on to it fast. And it is most important to remember that unless the mind, intellect, and senses are stilled, there can be no contact. To draw inferences is something entirely different. Merely a glimpse of the truth can give some intoxication. What can be said, then, of those who go deep into its very heart, into that ocean of intoxication, to become one with it? So the advice is to leave all your intellect in your thinking and try to receive a little of that nectar of intoxication. It is said that even if the most learned or intellectual person enjoyed a small drop of that, he would dance with joy ahead of all the rest. devotion, love, ardor, these three. The difference lies in name only, for they are one. There are various names for the same thing. You can call it love or devotion or even ardor, but these are merely different expressions of language. Know that a devoted attitude is the Guru Math. All other teachings are of the mind. Devotion is the Guru's teaching, or Guru Math. For in devotion, the mind is stilled. In the mind is the chit. Mind, intellect, and ego all come under the same category. No matter what practice one chooses to perform, if the mind is not stilled, then there is no progress on the spiritual path. The mind has four definite phases: chit, impressions, man, or subtle mind, buddhi, intellect, and ahankar, or ego. All must be stilled before one can experience and proceed. Love is the form of the soul and of God. Devotion is the form which glorifies the Lord. Devotion and the Lord are one. Know then that the Satguru is the form of love. You, friend, are also the form of love. Accept all life as the same. Who are you? You are also a particle of that great love. Love is innate in your true self. You are a very drop of that intoxicant. You are a drop of that, and if only you would become self-intoxicated and remain so in outer expression also, seeing then that same love everywhere, you would then know without doubt that the ocean of love is such that has no end. What then must you do to gain this condition? You must give yourself up to it. For this, the question of me or you or self does not arise. Wherever the me and you persist, there is only illusion. That which takes one above the illusion, remember, is not the intellect. Pardon me. Although intellect can give some flashes of that existence, some inkling, and can start to draw various inferences. But love is something that is gained without effort. Only then will one start blending with the truth. One secret I have discovered. Somewhere it is a small drop, and somewhere it surges. He says that you are a small drop, but that power is surging in fullness wherever he has manifested and is being expressed. Surging from what? From the main river or source. One Muslim prophet says, O God, sometime past there was an intoxicating nectar in this cup of clay. But we are degraded so low that there is not a whiff of fragrance in these earthen pots. The soul itself is made of that nectar, and to whatever it gets connected, it becomes self-intoxicated with that object. It connects itself to the outer objects, which of course are illusionary, not lasting, ever-changing. But it drinks in the experiences by focusing its attention upon them. If it would only withdraw into itself, it would encounter the ocean of real bliss. If furthermore it would join with that water which surges, then that surge is the expression of the main river or source or ocean. It is said, therefore, love only that one who takes you beyond all worldly difficulties. Without true love, O man, you will find no refuge. Our river flows between muddy banks, but it is still a river. Similarly, that mighty ocean is flowing through a realized soul. The man form in whom that ocean surges is called a Satguru, and we should love that one in whom that flow is manifested. The expression of the Lord is there. This is the easiest way, for above all austerities, prayers, repetition, all other disciplines, etc., is the holy Nam. All other practices are, in fact, performed in order that the natural way may be contacted. Nothing need be inserted from outside. We must merely withdraw from outer environments and invert. That true path is already existent within us. Somewhere that ocean spreads the light. Sometimes it is called a river, sometimes a drop. In one place it is but a drop. In another it surges forth. In yet another place it may be as an ocean. Each is a stage of the same thing. We are like a drop of that, but that drop is so mixed up with matter that it is no longer aware of its true nature. We have no real knowledge that we are, in truth, a drop of that ocean. We can see only a tiny glimpse of that nature when we become attached to something and become self-intoxicated thereby. What an experience if we could be connected to that which is so strong that it surges, and then if we merged into the ocean. The realized people are the waves of that ocean which surge forth in full strength. They are that ocean or river which is made up of waves. And we are advised to direct our love to that wave which flows between the earthy banks of the physical body. Somewhere the true desire is supreme. Elsewhere illusion reigns. The nature of love is attachment, and it will go, therefore, to where it is attached. It is easy to see how it would increase day by day. That is called desire. When one is trapped in desire, one is indeed trapped in forgetfulness. Then illusion gets stronger and reigns over all. It becomes our religion and our God. The result of all this is inevitably that the soul must return again and again into the worldly life. The solution is one that all masters have advocated. Be without desire. Lord Buddha said, be desireless. There should be no undulation within. One should be tranquil. All one's troubles will fade away. When the ground is prepared, in the silence of the heart, the light will sprout forth. The light will be seen, and the sound will vibrate, and this will take you, and you will merge into the beyond. At one point, the illusion vanishes when the ocean's blessing purifies. When one rejoins the ocean or wave, then all outer traits, habits, and inclinations leave, for there is no desire left. You will find the words of the masters in the Gurbani. I do not want heaven nor salvation, but desire only to be at the feet of the Beloved. We only want you, that is all. For the devotees of the worldly life, the higher life is prohibitive, and for the devotees of the higher life, the worldly life is prohibitive. But both this world and the other worlds are prohibitive to those who want God Himself, which is the ultimate goal. There is no illusion in the river or the drop. In these, only love remains. Wherever his expression, the love, is swelling like the ocean, there is nothing of the world present. How can illusion be there? For illusion is the name given to forgetfulness of the Lord. When one is enmeshed in that illusion, then he is not there. When one withdraws from that, there is only he and nothing other than him. Just look at this adhesion. It is nature's own law. Without his presence in creation, the atoms could not adhere to each other in cohesive form. All the fine particles of matter stay together because that power or love of God holds them in that state, adhesion. When that power withdraws, everything disintegrates. With regard to this physical form, the condition is the same. When the power of God withdraws from it, disintegration takes place. You can say it is the very essence of the subject, and that thing which is called the power of adhesion is bound by the force of love, without which the world would fall apart. That treasure house of love is great, of which neither beginning nor end can be seen. Without a sant, none can reach it. For embedded in the sant is the sat guru. One can neither find nor reach that vast treasure of love without the help of the sant. Why? Because within him the sat guru is manifested. He is the manifested God in man. Such a personality has the qualification to be called a sant. To merge with the wave, then, is the same as merging with the ocean. It is a beautiful explanation given to help one's understanding. The drop of consciousness that is our soul has become so deeply involved and enmeshed in the matter and all its environments that it has lost its awareness. But if it withdraws from these outer things, its own love will awaken. Then in turn, if it merges into the wave of love, it will then return to the ocean or source. If that dry drop wishes to become moist with the love of God again, it should keep the company of that person in whom God has manifested. In slightly different terms, it has been described in this way. When the soul keeps the company of the guru, the dead wood becomes green again. It returns to life once again. The name for this process of keeping the guru's company is satsang, or guru bhakti. The greatness of prem bhakti is such, to imbibe it is to absorb a mine of amrit. Imbibe the greatness of love and devotion, or prem bhakti, for this is realization of God. God is love, and love is God. Love God. As God is in each being, love all beings. Who can do this? One who has attached himself from this image of clay. And the method? The remedy is one. When the attention is connected to the sadhu, the mind is stilled for a while. In the master's company, the attention becomes still and the awareness comes. The mind, which takes its strength from the attention, then finds it impossible to run around. A realized soul is the controller of his attention. And the radiation from such a soul can arrest another's attention and control it. The attention comes under control, and as the mind and senses lose their source of strength, they also lose their power of attraction. In the Master's company, God is nearer. But when one leaves the Master's vicinity and his radiation, again the difficulties arise. So the advice is given to keep the Master's company as often as possible, twice a day, or every third day, or every week, every 2 weeks, every month, or 6 months, or 1 year, and so on, according to one's yearning and one's opportunity. On this subject, Kabir said that if a disciple does not desire to be with his guru for even once in a year, then what is left in him? I remember during the time of Hazur that a man once came from Africa, and I was present when he asked the Master, "Maharaj, as I live in Africa, I have come to you after 5 or 6 years." But Kabir Sahib has said that if a person does not see his guru for more than a year, that relationship becomes slack. Do you know what Baba Sawan Singh Ji replied to this? He said, "Kabir Sahib said that, not I. You can begin to see for yourselves that this is not a subject for reading about or writing or intellectual wrestling, for the real benefit cannot be gained through outer knowledge. The true benefit is got only by upasana. The meaning of upasana is to sit near the adored one with a single-pointed concentration. Such a concentration within, which all else is forgotten. Even awareness of the body should not be there. Then when the attention starts talking with the greater attention, that is upasana. One can perform this with a symbol of worship or with anything else that represents one's object of adoration. Or one can sit near a living charged physical form for the charging. For the latter, one must go to some master soul from whom the charging can be received, even at a distance of thousands of miles. Television and radio are visible and audible across thousands of miles. Why not the radiation from a spiritually charged human form? He is omnipotent. Just turn your face toward him a little and he will materialize." Letters have been received in confirmation of this, stating that they have seen the manifestation with open eyes, even at greater distances. This is no miracle, it is but a natural thing. Our attention is scattered at present among the outer objects, people, and environments. Swamiji says that one should imbibe the devotion, for that is a mine of the nectar of immortality. It is that which gives immortality. It frees one from both life and death in the spheres of illusion. Assimilate it within you, but at the same time, go on doing your outer actions and duties. Truly, if you have not got this devotion, then you have nothing. It will also give you additional benefit in every phase and expression of life. Before all else, do Guru Bhakti, and you will receive the realization of Nam. Guru Bhakti is a means of preparing the ground and also for concentrating one's attention on a single-pointed condition. Remember this. After the performance of great sadhans of karam and dharam, action and ethics, then a person might achieve this single-pointed attention that is also called upasana. And then, one can become one with the object of one's attention, and that is called true satsang. What is the satsang? Where the satguru is, so is the satsanga made. Sit in the company of someone who has already realized, and when the body and all its adjuncts and the connections of the world are forgotten, and the heart is connected with his heart and has become receptive, then in such condition, the very wealth of his own attribute can be received. This is Guru Bhakti. And remember, without Guru Bhakti, know that those who practice the shabd are ignorant. Because of the advent of false gurus, the name of Guru Bhakti has been tarnished, but the fact remains that there is no other way. What kind of gurudom has gained the low reputation? That which is bereft of the truth. Truly speaking, life comes from life, and remember this, whatever the person to whom you are connected truly is, so like that will you become. This is why I never advocate the practice of visualization. God is one who comes by himself. That is the right person. Through visualizing, whatever that person is, God forbid, but say he is not the true one, then what will you become? You will become the same as that person. He who comes by himself without visualizing is perfect, for God comes only to those who seek him and him alone. God knows, does he not, through which pole he is working. He will come by himself to give his instructions, that is all. He himself is in that one, and this is why Guru Bhakti is most important in order to gain the real thing. Where does Guru Bhakti start? It starts from obedience. Satguru's words. Words are the Satguru. He who respects the Satguru's words will surely gain salvation. But for those who bow to his physical form alone, salvation is very far away. If there is devotion with respect when in his company, then the radiation will be absorbed. Satguru is seen by the whole world, but there is no salvation without love for the shabd. With an absence of love, we cannot meditate. Even if one succeeds in meditating a little, one will still be prey to indulgence and fall back again. The more love is developed in the heart, the more progress there will be on the spiritual path. You can say that love is also receptivity. What else is it? It is a natural expression which is innate in everyone. Our attention is scattered and dispersed, and the aim is to withdraw it from outer expression and connect it at one point. So, I will end this reading at that point and continue next time. And I will read a few words from Swami Shiv Dayal Singh in prayer. How can I liberate myself from the wiles of the mind? This is the problem of my soul. It has cast a deadly spell of worldly pleasures, and I am thus separated from my real home. Enmeshed in the 10 senses, I find myself in a vicious circle. Having been expelled from the 10th portal, I am wandering through the 9 gates. Caught in the web of worldly pleasure, I find no way out of the bondage. Besides the Master, I see nobody capable enough to lead me out of the wilderness. I am all afraid of Yama, or the Lord of Death. Who else can free me of this fear? I have degraded myself to the life of beasts, as I have never loved the Master. As a branch fallen off the tree, I am cast away from the real home. I beg the Master to get my mind to love his lotus feet. Purify my heart with thy satsang, for there it will separate itself from the body and contact the mystic sound. And then will it drink amrit. And then will it drink amrit from the fount. Of immortality. And then will pains and miseries disappear. And the soul will have no fear. Then will I contact the sound principle and gain the love of my Lord. Okay. Thank you, Master.
Today there were 66 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.